In writing about the early church, Luke recorded in Acts 9 and verse 31, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walked in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied." Note, he says they were walking in the fear of the Lord. In writing to the church at Philippi, Paul told them, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Philippians 2 and verse 12. This concept of fear and trembling in connection with God is not a popular idea today. People prefer to hear about God's love, His long-suffering, and His mercy. And sometimes we point out God's righteous indignation, holiness, and justice, and people reply when that's pointed out that my God is not like that. The emphasis on God's love and mercy today is probably a reaction to old-time gospel sermons of hellfire and brimstone, preaching from another generation. But could it be that we've gone from one extreme to another, where there is no concept of fear and trembling as it relates to the Christian? And could this be why so many Christians are apathetic in their service? They don't care. Could it be that we have forgotten who we should fear if we are negligent in our service? Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 28, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Today in this lesson, I hope to accomplish three things: to define the fear of the Lord, point out why the fear of the Lord is important in the Christian's life, and suggest how we can develop a healthy fear of the Lord without going to one extreme or the other. So first, when we define the fear of the Lord, we look at the word fear, and the Hebrew word is yirah, and it is used in the Old Testament to describe fear or terror, awesome or terrifying thing, an object that causes fear, fear of God, respect, reverence, piety. The Greek word is phobos, and it is used to describe fear or dread, terror, that which strikes terror. In connection with fear of the Lord, it's often defined as reverence or awe, which is fine as far as it goes, but I wonder if this definition really goes far enough. Even though the terms reverence and awe imply a place for trembling, do most people make that connection? The fear of the Lord should include a place for trembling, even as Paul indicated in chapter 2 of Philippians in verse 12, by combining fear and trembling, as we've already noticed. He says, "As you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." The Greek word for trembling is tremos, and it means a trembling or quaking with fear, just as one would likely tremble in the presence of one who could take our life. And so Jesus taught us to fear the Lord, Matthew 10 and verse 28. A proper fear of the Lord would include then reverence and awe, being afraid to offend God in any way, Hendrickson would say in his commentary on this passage. A trembling and quaking if one knows they have offended God and have not obtained His forgiveness. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 10, verses 26 and 27, "If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God." He goes on to say in that same chapter in verses 30 and 31, "For we know him who said, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Hebrew writer goes on in chapter 12, in verses 28 and 29, and says, "Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." So the value of this type of attitude is seen as we continue on and now notice the importance of the fear of the Lord. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 7 and verse 1 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. He says in Proverbs 8 and verse 13 that the fear of the Lord will cause one to hate evil. And the fear of the Lord, he says in chapter 10 and verse 27, will prolong life. He says in chapter 14 of Proverbs, verses 26 and 27, that the fear of the Lord provides strong confidence and is a fountain of life. Proverbs 16 and verse 6, the fear of the Lord prompts one to depart from evil. And the fear of the Lord leads to a satisfying life and spares one from much evil. Proverbs 19 and verse 23. And the fear of the Lord is the way to riches, honor, and life. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. And without the fear of the Lord, we close ourselves off to the treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. And we're willing to flirt with evil and allow ourselves to be corrupted by that evil. Our lives are likely going to be shortened because we refuse to listen to God's word. And it could be any number of things that this life throws at us. Any type of disease that this world throws at us because of our failing to submit to God's will. And we won't come to know the love of God that gives us assurance and confidence of His salvation. And when falling into sin, without the fear of the Lord, we won't be motivated to repent and turn back to God. And without this fear of the Lord, we won't be motivated to truly work out our own salvation. So, without the fear of the Lord, we cannot please God. Isaiah 66 verses 1 and 2. And only the person who trembles at His word, at God's word, has God's promise to receive His tender mercy. It's what the psalmist writes about in Psalm 103 verses 17 and 18. But now, how does one develop the proper fear of the Lord without going to one extreme or the other, as we talked about with earlier generations? So, in developing this fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord comes through the Word of God. Paul says in Romans 10 verse 17 that just as faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, the same can be said for the fear of the Lord. It comes by reading God's Word. When you notice Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 10 through 13 there, the children of Israel were told to gather every 7 years, gather together and read and hear the Word. What was the purpose of that? The text tells us it was that they may learn to fear the Lord. Come together, read the Word of God, listen to the Word of God so that you can learn how you should fear the Lord God. As one reads the Word of God, they should certainly gain a healthy degree of the fear of the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 11 at your convenience and see what Paul says about it there, or the words of Peter in 2 Peter 3, verses 7 through 14. Both of those are lengthy passages that we don't have time to cover right now, but I encourage you to write those passages down and read them later. Romans 2, verses 4 through 11, and 2 Peter 3, verses 7 through 14. The Word of God, when properly used, will maintain a proper balance. And it's important to emphasize, however, that to avoid extremes, we must read all of God's Word. Some read only those portions that reveal God's love and mercy, and they have no fear of the Lord. Others emphasize the fire, hell, and brimstone passages and know nothing of God's everlasting loving kindness. the one develops an attitude of permissiveness that belittles God's holiness and justice. The other develops a psychosis of terror that forgets God's grace and compassion. And even in the passages that we've noted above in this lesson, the context of each speaks much of God's grace and forgiveness for those who are willing to repent. And so we must be careful how we use the Word of God. But we must use it. I'm afraid that there are those in every church, every congregation who have lost that fear of God. They don't have a reverence or an awe of who God is anymore. And I think we can see that in their attendance, in their actions, in their lack of attendance rather, and in their lack of actions and lack of service in the congregation. The psalmist says in Psalm 89 and verse 7 that God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all. Of all them that are about him. Again, we ask the question, why do we need to fear the Lord? Well, it's so that you and I will work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And this warning is necessary. The warning that we have written for us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The Hebrew writer there says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know, that's an interesting verse. Because there are people that claim to be children of God, claim to be Christians, and yet they don't read the Word of God. So how do they know? They don't know. They make an assumption because someone told them that they were Christian because they either said a sinner's prayer or they accepted Jesus into their heart, but they didn't do what Jesus told them to do. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 4 and verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. People, we've all got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And with the proper fear of the Lord, we will work out our salvation. We will labor. We will work to enter into that heavenly rest. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So let me ask you this. One last question. Are you perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord? Are you developing a fear of the Lord that is required of all children of God? It may be that you don't agree with this lesson. I respect that. But if you disagree with it and you would like to speak with me, be sure that you bring your Bible and have book, chapter, and verse to show me that I'm wrong. The last thing I want to do is teach error. Now, there's a difference in someone teaching error and teaching something that you don't like. Just because you don't like it does not mean that it's error. So if you don't like what's being said in this lesson, feel free to contact me. But please bring your Bible and be willing to sit down and discuss the truth of God's Word. I want to thank you for being with me today, and I look forward to being with you next Sunday morning.